In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is generous almost to a fault. I say this not to accuse God of any wrongdoing, but simply to highlight how vastly different He is from you and from me. Parents don't let kids eat as much as they want, but they teach them proper portion sizes to maintain a healthy life. Not so God. He gives and He gives and He gives, and when He's done giving, He gives even more. So no portion control for these 5,000. No eating only as much as they needed for that moment. They ate as much as they wanted. And certainly some overate and then had to rest, perhaps take a nap before their journey homeward. When parents do this and let their children eat as much as they want, that child becomes spoiled and eventually unhealthy. But God gives and He gives and He gives. At Cana, the wedding of Cana, He gives wine to drunks. They had finished it all too early. He gives them more. Here, He gives bread to those He know will overeat. He doesn't give because they deserve it. In fact, He gives in spite of who they are. He doesn't even give to satisfy a need, but He gives because He is a gracious God who desires to abundantly bless all people. So Zoar is spared Sodom's fate, so Lot might flee to it. Potiphar is blessed, while faithful Joseph labors in slavery. 5,000 are fed, even though they want nothing more than an earthly king. The wicked are blessed, even sometimes far more than the godly. For the Lord is a God who graciously pours out His blessings on both the righteous and the wicked. Look at the wealth of our country. Undeserved, a gift from God. Look at the wealth in your homes. Again, undeserved, a gift from God. If He were to give us only food and clothing, we would be content with that, as St. Paul says. But He gives us food and drink, clothing and shoes, house and home, land, property, money, goods, a family, a government, and then people to fulfill those offices of government. He gives us good weather, peace, health, self-control, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the list goes on and on and on. How can we not rejoice when we look at all the blessings God has given to us? He gives these things not because we have asked of Him, but He simply gives these things because He is a gracious God who cannot help but to give us blessings. He doesn't simply meet our needs either, but He gives to us far more than we could ever hope or imagine, even for this life. He gives according to His good and gracious will. Yes, I know this world has many sorrows and trials and tribulations. I know that all too well, and so do you. But still God's love and His blessings shine most clearly on even the darkest of days, in the hug of a friend, the smile of a child, or simply the family being all together. Yes, you've endured much in your life, far more than I could possibly even understand. But as a kid, could you have imagined all the different kinds of food that you would eat, the places that you would visit, the people that you would meet, the life that God has given you? It was beyond even your wildest dreams. I've heard many of your stories. No life is perfect. There are many ups and downs, but truly thank God and rejoice for all that you have. He opened His hand and satisfied the 5,000 with bread, miraculously given. He opens His hand daily and satisfies you with your food that you eat and your drink. And then there's always some left over for tomorrow's lunch. He doesn't just satisfy you with enough for that day, but He gives you more than you need. He gives in abundance. He gives because He loves you. He gives because He is gracious. And we can never finish it all. Even the stuff in our fridge, well, we have to go through it once a week because some of it spoils. We can't get to it all in time. His mercy endures forever, even when we act like spoiled brats and stop sharing, or worse, when we despise the gifts of God and want something else and simply throw away what he's given because it's not up to our standards. Stop whining, stop grumbling, stop complaining, stop comparing yourselves to others, your life to others, your looks to others, your gifts to others, and simply rejoice. But also keep these things in their proper perspective. What will you do when all of these gifts that I've mentioned are useless? What will you do when not one of these earthly gifts will help you? Someday, even the most healthy organic food won't help. Someday, the government won't be able to help you. Someday, the pills that you take will stop working. Someday, even your dear spouse, your family, your friends will only be able to stand next to you and watch your body deteriorate and your mind slip away. You've seen it in others. You've been there. Someday it will be you. So what will you do then when all these earthly blessings are taken from you? What is your priceless treasure? What is the gift of God that he gives that surpasses all others? As wonderful as clean air, good food, and fresh water are, these things cannot prevent death. So what will you do? That is why you pray, give us this day our daily bread. You're not simply asking God for these earthly things, but you are asking God for the gifts that he gives to his beloved sons and daughters born through holy baptism. You are asking God for the eternal bread of life from which a man may eat and so live forever. Do not take that bread from us, O God. Bless us with Christ. Give to us your salvation, for that alone can get us through this life, through death, and on to the next. All the earthly food you eat points to this divine bread. Every heavenly meal you sit down and partake of leads your mind back to this heavenly meal. No feast is as delicious, as satisfying, as comforting, and as life-sustaining as this feast of feasts. You dare not skip a meal. You dare not even skip a day without eating, but you eat multiple times per day, and then you snack even more occasionally. Use the Lord's Supper like that. Crave it. Live to eat it. Do not let it pass by. And as you are driving, thinking about your meals later this day, think back to that Holy Supper which God has given to you. Delight over it. And do not worry about saving more for others. For the Lord's bread will never run out, and his cup will never be emptied. He gives and he gives and he gives, and the blessings overflow. That is why there are 12 baskets left over, one for each apostle to take to the four corners of the world. The bread of life is given to all nations abundantly. You can never expend God's grace or wear out his love. He gives not simply to satisfy your need one day, but he forgives you in the absolution. Then he forgives you again through his word, and then he forgives you again in his holy supper. It's redundant, but God loves to give. Delight in the gifts that he gives to you, for here you are saved from eternal death and hell. Veggies cannot keep you alive forever, but Christ's body can. So rejoice when Sunday comes around. It's really what you've been waiting for the entire week. You've been waiting for this moment here. Be glad when your spouse or your parent or grandparent says to you, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." For there you will feast on the bread of life and eat the eternal God. For his flesh is real food and his blood is real drink. This is not a metaphor. This is a reality. That bread is Jesus who hung on the cross. That wine is Jesus' blood which soaked the ground 2,000 years ago. Now it touches your lips and your tongue, rushes down your throat and throughout your veins. The bread of life attaches himself to you so that you may have life and have it to the full. This food gives you unimaginable strength and energy. It sharpens your mind. This feast heals your body and your soul, your mind, your brain, your organs, yes, even your cells, atoms, and your very DNA is healed. Here is health and prosperity. Here, you are made immortal. So how can you not rejoice? How can you not tell everyone that you meet that your God came to you this very day to give you life? Don't tell them what the sermon was about. Tell them that you ate your God. Tell them that this feast waits for them as well. Regardless of how your day has gone or your week has been, how can we not rejoice as we enter God's house to receive his heavenly gifts? Don't think that you're stuck in Lent, in a season of sadness. Don't think that you are fasting from anything. Sure, you may not eat this or that for 6 weeks, a month and a half, so be it. But you still feast and eat in excess. Far more than you need, and far more is always left over. Open your eyes to see the heavenly things God is giving to you, the divine bread that is set before you this day, and you will rejoice regardless of how your life is going. What more could God give to us? What more could we ask of him? How can we repay the Lord for all the blessings he's given to us? Lift up the cup of salvation again and call upon the name of the Lord your God. Look, he's here before you yet again to feed you. A feast ready for hungry mouths. A holy meal prepared by a gracious God for us unworthy sinners. Delight in the gifts of God, yes, even those earthly gifts of God. Use them. Ask God for them. He will give according to his will. But also see those earthly things as shadows of a greater gift that he has given, a priceless treasure that never wears out and no moth or rust can ever destroy. Let your food draw your mind back to this heavenly food. Then you will enter the Lord's house with rejoicing to feast in joy and gladness. For this meal alone can give you joy, eternal and eternal gladness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.